So, if you'd like to read with us today, we're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 1. That's easy. I thought, you know, in this last sermon, I'd keep it simple. You know, that's what an old preacher told me one time long ago when I was first starting out preaching. He said, keep it simple, stupid. And so I had the stupid part down pretty good. All I had to do was get a hold of that simple part, and we're doing well. But that's kind of the title and what we're going to preach on today, how simple salvation is, how easy it is to get saved, how hard, I mean, it's hard to stay lost and be in the world. And we got to see and understand that today. If you'd like to read with us from Genesis chapter 1, we're going to begin reading, I believe, with verse 26 and read forward about verse 28. We're going to see a part of the creation story. And we're going to consider that today and what God would have us to see there. So y'all be much in prayer for me as I try to preach. And I can't imagine how God can take this old speck of dirty dirt, and that's what I am, and use me at all in His ministry. But praise God, through the years, He's been good. Who was it had the wedding, the anniversary today? Praise God. How many years? One. I got you beat a couple. Me and Ruth will celebrate our 60th wedding anniversary on October the 3rd of this year, if we make it there. I was 12 years old when we got married. No, I was a little older than that. Old enough to have more sense, but I didn't. So, no, I'm telling you now, I trust that your life and your marriage will be what mine has been. The love of my life God brought to me. And she has stood by my side and helped me and through all of my faults and errors through all these years. And somebody asked me one time, said, what would happen if you had Sister Ruth got divorced, would you give her half of what you got? I said, no, I'd give her 75%, because that's about what she is if I marry. I'm about 25, and she's 75. And I'll tell you now, the best thing that ever happened to you in your life is a good marriage. And the worst thing that can happen to you is a bad marriage, okay? One thing y'all lack. Now, I appreciate Brother Tony and all that he does, boy. You'd miss him if he left, I'll tell you. He helps us run. I preach on the radio four nights a week, and I'm able to do that because of Brother Tony. He's helped set up my computer, and he's got where all I got to do is go punch a button, turn it on, sit there and preach, and it goes right to the radio station by the help of my wife. I can't send them, but she does. And so we preach Monday through Thursday. We preach at 9 o'clock in the morning and 8 o'clock at night, so you have to put up with me twice a day if you listen to the radio station. But a good thing about the radio station, it's got an on and off knob. You can turn me off. I put that radio station on the air while Albert Locke was your pastor here. And he had a program on there. And he invited me over to come preach. And I told the people, I said, boy, I finally got something I wanted to do for a long time. Brother Albert comes on that radio, and I can turn him off. So we had good fellowship back then, and the church here was full at that time. And I wonder now what's going on in the world. But we're living in the end time. I'm going to give you a little piece of advice, and then I'm going to go ahead and start preaching. You need a piano player. Now, Tony does a good job. I'm amazed how well that goes with the music. But it just adds something to have a piano player. Now, I'm going to tell you, I know a good one. I mean, a good one. She's about 18 years old, very pretty little girl. And you put her on that piano stool, and about half the boys in Laurel Hill start coming to church, okay? So a lot of boys go to church to see the girl. So she'd be available, and I think she would, and she is just from a real fine family. I couldn't say too much about her. She's just a real fine young lady. Okay, let's look what God has for us today in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the wonderful opportunity we have to come and just tell these people I'm a Christian and I love God. Yes, I fail and I do things wrong. And I'm so sorry, Lord, and ask forgiveness for everything and every sin in my life. And I pray now, Father, that you'd meet with us here in this service. But Father, I need your help because, you know, Lord, I'm not capable of telling anybody anything. But the Holy Spirit of God can do wonders. Even he made a donkey talk to save a man's life. I pray, Lord, if you can use a donkey, use me here a little bit today in these service. If there is one here that's lost and undone in sin, if there's one here that has doubts, I pray, Father, that during this service those doubts could be removed and those people that are lost could come and receive you. Lord, that's why we're here, to worship you, bring honor and glory to your name, and see lost people saved. Bless us now. In the name of Jesus we pray and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. I know that through your life, you've probably seen a lot of really handsome young men and some very beautiful young ladies. But you've never seen anything like Adam and Eve. For they were created in the very likeness and the image of God. They were man at his pinnacle, at his best. Man without sin whatsoever at all. So just to look at them probably would have taken your breath away. But then God blessed them and he gave them dominion over everything on the earth. I mean, over the cattle and over the fish and over the birds and even creeping things that crawls upon the earth. Man was set over those things and given power over all of those things. And God made it real simple for Adam and Eve. He said, now look, you can get, have anything you want here in this garden. And I can imagine that God had furnished that garden with everything a man could ever desire whatsoever in his heart. But he said, I just got one little thing for you to do. Now, you don't get any simpler for that. You know, if I come to you and say, you got to do one thing and I'm going to give you $1 million. Boy, I don't care how hard that thing was, you'd probably get at it if you believed in that. But God said to Adam, he said, I won't make it simple for you and easy for you. You can have anything here. You got dominion over everything, over the fish, over the birds, over the cattle, the horses, even the bugs that creep on the ground. They're under your control, whatever you want to do with them. But he said, I got one thing I want you to do. And he said, I want, there's a tree in the middle of the garden. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, now, Adam, you can have all these trees and everything, but of that one tree, you leave it alone and you do not eat. But you know, Adam's just like you and I. He willfully made a free will choice to eat that fruit. You know, the old devil came and kind of beguiled Eve and she ate. But look at what you, if you read there, you'll find out that the devil didn't even know what God told him to do, not to do. He said he come and he kind of had an idea, but he didn't know. He said, has God told you that you could eat of every tree of the garden? He said, yeah. She said, yes. He's told us that we could eat all of it except one tree. And he said, she told Satan now. Satan didn't know. He said, she's cooperating with Satan. She's helping Satan. She's telling Satan, she's giving the things of God unto Satan. And she said, he told us we can eat every tree of the garden except the tree of good and evil in the midst of the garden. And he told us if we eat that, we would surely die. And Satan said, oh no, you won't surely die. If you eat of that fruit, you'll have knowledge of good and evil and you'll be just like God. Well, I mean, I'd like to be like God, wouldn't you? I mean, that's a pretty good argument to take the fruit. So Eve took the fruit and ate it. And Lord, she knew instantly what she had done. Because you know what happened? You say, well, they didn't die. God just put them out of the garden. No, they died. Their soul died. You see, when God created Adam in the beginning, He formed him out of the dust. But then He leaned over him and He breathed in him the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And the moment that Eve ate that apple in disobedience to God, her soul died. And then she wanted other people to suffer too, so she got old Adam. Come over here, Adam. I got something good for you. He said, no, God said not do that. She said, oh, I did it, and it's all right. So he ate it. But both of them was simply being disobedient to God. Now, I'm going to tell you, God has always tried to make His relationship with man simple and easy. He's done all that He could to make salvation today available to everybody the easiest way possible. You don't have to go to a cross. You don't have to climb up a mountain or beat yourself on the back. You don't have to get $1 million to buy it. You don't have to do anything. The gospel and salvation is free. God made it just as easy as it could be. Now, Adam and Eve sinned, and right away, their lives were filled with guilt and problems. And what did they do? First off, they sewed them fig leaves, clothes out of fig leaves to cover up their nakedness. What are they trying to do? Trying to hide their sins from the face of God. Brother, I'm telling you, be sure your sins will find you out. There is nothing that will cover sin from the eyes of God. The fig leaves was a little bit too small. God still realized what they had done. The fig leaf itself was a testimony to God that we've been disobedient to you. And if there had been other men there at that time, it would have been testimony to those men that they had been disobedient, because in their innocence they needed not clothes. But then after the fig leaf didn't do the job, they went and hid themselves. It was a custom that God came every afternoon in the cool of the day and walked in the garden and had fellowship with Adam. Can you imagine that? I mean, woohoo! That gets me excited. Just to kind of reach up, hold God's hand, and walk, stroll through that beautiful garden had to be the greatest blessing in the world. But now here it says, Adam has chosen of his free will to be disobedient to God. He's hiding himself. Man has tried to do that from Genesis to Revelation. You read Revelation, where the great men of the time and the tribulation period, they run into the mountain, to the rocks, to the caves, and they cry that the rocks will fall down on them and shield them from the face of God. From that day forth to the end of time, when Jesus puts an end to it all, that man is still trying to cover his sin, and men is still trying to hide from God. But I'm going to tell you something. Why don't you turn to God? It's simple. It's easy. It's hard. Look, you get out here, you find you a drug user, a drug addict. And I'm going to tell you something, his life's hard. Now, my heart goes out to these people because they're suffering every day of their life. You find you a good alcoholic somewhere, or a wife beater, or a child beater, or all of these things, a man that commits adultery after adultery after adultery, and his little wife suffers, his children suffer, he suffers, and the ladies that he, and the families of the ladies he's having affairs with suffer. It's hard to be a sinner, but it's easy to be a Christian. Now, over in Numbers, the 22nd chapter, there's a very unusual story. Not really unusual in some sense. In the first, it says that the people of Israel murmured against God and Moses. Man's been doing that since the garden, and he's still doing it today. I've heard people say, I don't understand why God let that child die or get sick, or why that good man is in the trouble he's in. You know, there's a purpose and a reason for everything. God doesn't do anything lightly, and God never sends hardship. God only sends blessing. But those people came, and they said, Moses, we're tired of you, and we're tired of God. We're out here in this wilderness now. We've left the flesh pots of Egypt, and we had food there to eat. But you've let us out here in the wilderness. We don't have water to drink, and we're tired of this light bread. Holy matter from heaven. Manna from heaven was coming, and they were being fed from the hand of God, and they was tired of it. And God's anger was kindled against them. The Bible said he sent fiery serpents to fall down there among them. And when they bit you, it was certain death. And there was millions of those serpents, because there were millions of those people. I mean, they would, like now, you see a snake now and again. Boy, they'd be crawling around this church right here if we were in that condition. And I'm going to tell you what, later on I'll show you that they are. But those serpents was biting people, and it was certain death. And so the people repented. Now, Bible said it, we are conceived in iniquity, and it said we repent, we shall all likewise perish. And they were at the point that that whole nation was fixing to perish, because them snakes, as the nature is, to bite people, and the poison kill the people. So they came in a time of repentance, and they said, we've sinned, we've done against God. Please make petition to God that he'll take these snakes away. But you read that story. God did not take those snakes away. Instead, God instructed Moses to make an image of that snake out of brass and to put that brass serpent on a pole. And he said, now, here's the deal, Moses. Everyone, when they're bitten of those snakes, if they'll turn and look at that emblem of that snake, that image of that snake, they won't die. They'll be healed. But they got to look. Now, you know what? There were some of those foo people. I know, because I know people. It doesn't say this in the Bible. Now, this is gospel according to Earl. I kind of tell you that when I get off the scripture a little bit. But there's some of them people said, that's foolishness. Who ever heard of looking at a brass snake? And that's some medicine in that. I'd rather go to the doctor. And I'd rather do this. I'd rather do that. But everybody, it was simple. The way of life was simple. Death was in the camp. The way to escape death was simple. When the snake bit you, he didn't take the snakes away. Now, and I know that was not a pleasurable experience to have an old snake biting on you. But bless God, all you had to do was look up at that serpent on that pole and you lived. And it was a stupid man that wouldn't live that go to heaven, hell. But let me tell you something. We live in a world today full of snakes, sinful snakes. There's all kind of snakes in this world. There's alcoholism, there's drug addiction, there's sin of just about any kind you want to name in this world today. And I'm going to tell you the other truth about it. Every one of us been bitten by the snake of sin. The old Lucifer was a snake there in the Garden of Eden that tempted Eve to eat. And the snake here in the story with Moses was biting the people. And we live in a day today that sin is multiplied in this world. We live in the darkest time of my lifetime that this world's ever seen. There's more pits out there. There's more snakes out there. There's more poison venom out there than there ever been before. But God made it simple. God said, all you got to do is come, realize that you're a sinner, confessing your sins, and believing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and thou shalt be saved. But it's so simple today that many people do not hear, many people do not understand, and multitude on multitude are dying and on their way to hell. Now, you know people today who are half dead. You said, yeah, Brother Earl, you look pretty bad. You're old, wore out. That's not what I'm talking about. Listen, every man that's a sinner man, his soul is dead. Dead already. Over there in John says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish because he has believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But whosoever believeth not on the Son of God is condemned already. You don't have to wait till the judgment to be condemned. You're condemned already. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your soul is dead. You've been bitten by the snake of sin. It's simple to be saved. The Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost. You don't ever find in the Bible where men were seeking Jesus or seeking God. God's always tried to make it simple. He's always tried to make it easy for a man to be saved and have salvation and have the Spirit of God living within his life. But unless we come one day and we admit that we're sinners before God and we confess those sins and we ask forgiveness of those sins, we repent in sorrowful repentance of every sin that we committed, then our soul is dead. And the only way for your soul to live is for you to look to the cross. Now look, that snake was made in the image of the problem of the snake that was biting them. But that snake that was on the pole, it did not move. It did not sliver around. It had no venom in it. It didn't bite anybody. All that was in that snake was life. Now, I want you to know, in Jesus Christ, there's no darkness at all. All that's in Jesus is light and blessing. Can you know? He said, I've come that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. He paid the price on the cross. He said over there in John, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, Jesus came in likeness of man, in the symbol of a man. And he hung on that cross as a man. But in Jesus, there was never any harm. There was never any hurt. He never condemned anybody to death. Boy, I tell you, you just look at him, and you just marvel at how loving he was. You say, wait a minute, Brother Earl, he went one day down in the temple, and he took a, made a cord, and he drove people out of the church, those that sold sheep and oxen, and overthrew the money changer's table, and he told those that sold up, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. So you said he, no, but look at it, what he did. He was just trying to cleanse his church. But look how he did. He did it in such a gentle manner. Now he said that he drove out the oxen and the sheep. They went down through the city. But the owners of those, all they had to do was go round them up. There was not one of them destroyed. And the money changers, he just turned the table over and the money fell out on the floor. But they didn't lose a dime. All they had to go do was pick it up. The people that had doves, he told them, he said, you take them out. If he'd opened the cage of those doves, they'd have flown away and those people would have suffered loss. But Jesus never causes us to suffer loss. Jesus, God is love, and Jesus gives to us. He'll give to you if you'll just open your heart and receive Jesus. Let him live in your heart and life. It's so simple. It was so simple in the days of Moses just to look at that snake and to be healed and live. And people that died in that day had to choose to die. It was their free choice to be disobedient to the Word of God, not believe the Word of God, and die. Oh, in the Garden of Eden. It was so simple for Adam and Eve. You said, I believe I'd have been there. I'd have left that tree alone. No, we have the same nature in us that Adam had, the old Adamic nature. We are bent towards sin, and we love to sin. That's just all there is to it. Mankind loves to sin. But look, it was so simple for Adam, but he couldn't do simple things. It was so simple in the days there of Moses and the fire serpent. Look and live. Look away and die. But I'm going to tell you something today. It's so simple today to be saved. Jesus hung on that cross. He said, let whosoever will. John 3:16 said, God so loved the world. God so loved the world, the whole world. Red men, black men, white men, yellow men, I don't care. Russians, or English men, Americans. He died forever. He loved everybody enough to send Jesus to make it simple. We don't have to gather up sheep and go give burnt offerings. We don't have to keep the feast days and all of those things that the Jewish people could not do. God and Jesus came to make it simple for us to have salvation and have life and not die. I'm going to tell you something. I got late news for you. I'm going to live forever. What you say, Brother Earl? You're working on it. I'll soon be 85, but praise God, I feel like 25 sometime, just sometime. But I don't worry about the physical life, because I'm going to live forever in the arms of God. It says it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall be like Him. That's good enough for me. Just being like Jesus. Boy, I wish I could be like Him here today and now. And I could persuade you to move closer to God. Every one of us. Look, every one of us here is a filthy sinner. Did you know that? We're all filthy sinners. And we should come to church every Sunday in a time and an attitude of repentance that we could get closer to God. And if you're here and you're lost today, why in the world would you suffer the way you have to suffer to be able to die and go to hell? Because lost people, whether you believe it or not, they suffer. Now, I know you say, well, I've seen people prosper that run whiskey stores and things like that. No, you watch them. In the end, it all comes tumbling down because it's built upon the sand. I want to build on the solid rock, the foundation of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How simple it is to come and be saved. Yet multitudes on multitudes on multitudes. The Bible said, broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to death and destruction. And many there be that go that way. He said, narrow is the road and straight is the gate that leads to righteousness. And few there be that enter therein. People are still making the same choice and the same decision that Adam made to be disobedient to the Word of God. People are still making the same foolish mistake that the people in Moses' day, when they refused to look at the serpent, they were choosing death instead of life. Jesus Christ died on the cross that it would be simple, it'd be easy. All you have to do is yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Come and pray a simple prayer, and Jesus will save your soul. Save your soul, and you'll become whole and alive. If you're not a Christian here today, your soul's already dead. You're one heartbeat away from hell right now. That's all. And this old physical body, I can tell you, it wears out. And it wears out in a hurry. Seemed like I should be about 35, and here I'm fixed to be 85. But you know, life passes off so fast. But this is just a preparation for the next stage of life. I'm going to heaven to be with the Lord. Before that, I'm going to come back with Him. I'm going to live with Him for 1,000 years in a millennial period on this earth. But it'd be purified. There'll be no briars. There'll be no wild beasts. There'll be no poisonous snakes. There'll be no hate. There'll be no death for 1,000 years. I'm going to build a fish pond I want then, Brother Steele. I'm going to do a lot of things that 1,000 years. No, I don't know what we'll do, but whatever it'll do, it'll be wonderful. Now, the question to you is, are you ready? I mean, today, right now, there's 40,000 people every year dies on the highways. Ruth and I are going to get in the car and drive to Crestview when we finish here. We could get killed on the way. You have no promise of tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. You can't do nothing about it. Tomorrow's not here. You can't do anything about that either. You live in today. And today is the day of salvation. Won't you come today and be saved? We're going to ask a song leader to come and our pianist to go to work up there. We're going to give you a greatest invitation known to man. John D. Rockefeller or some of these rich people, people that owns Apple or some of these other things, would invite you to come to be their child and live in the luxury of the millions of dollars they've got. I don't believe there'd be any of us here that probably would refuse them, because we all think that riches bring happiness. But you know something? The only thing a rich person has that a poor person don't have, they have the knowledge that riches doesn't bring happiness. We think they will. But riches in God will bring happiness. Won't you come and let Jesus stay? Come on, Teresa, let the Lord. We're going to stand and sing number 190. I can't hear, can't see, and can't preach, but praise God. We're just going to let the Lord have His way. Now, I want you to come if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Now, you may be a Christian. You just need to come here and kneel and pray. But Holy Spirit's leading you. You come. But, oh, if you're lost here today, Jesus Christ is here to save your soul, to make you holy and fully alive if you'll just come and receive Jesus right now. Won't you come? Won't you slip out and come? Jesus is calling. Won't you come? Come home to Him right now. Receive the blessing. You don't lose a thing in this world, you gain. Jesus never takes away, He just gives. Won't you come? Well, praise God. Thank you once again for inviting us to come and be with you. I guess everybody's satisfied. Everybody made a decision today, like a preacher I talked to one time, and I said, "You have any decisions in your church?" He said, "Yes, sir. We had two decided to, and 290 decided not to." So I don't know, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't draw you and talk to you, then there's no need to come. But I'm telling you, this thing is real. Jesus is sweet. Sweeter gets the journey every day. I've walked with Him now. I've preached over 60 years. I've been preaching the gospel. And it gets better every day. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come. And if it's okay, I'll just dismiss with a word of prayer.